Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Niall Tallon. He's the CEO of Imagine. Niall, you're very welcome to the programme.
Morning, Bobby, and thanks so much for having me.
Not at all. Now, you've had an interesting background. You lived in I think it was Asia until you were 11, Dublin until you were 20, and then the US and UK until you were in your 30s. So tell us a little bit about your early years, growing up, your background, that kind of thing.
Sure. So obviously a lot of travel, very international kind of focus and background. Probably frames a lot of my relationship with Ireland and also into my career, which was just having seen, you know, a very wide international landscape growing up. Probably also what gave the energy to want to, you know, following college and being back in Ireland to go abroad again and try to, you know, find our way, as do many people from Ireland.
Yeah. So you studied in Wales, I think it was?
My primary degree was from the University of Glamorgan. Oh, that was Portobello House.
Oh, right, okay.
And obviously my master's was then in
Smurfit College in UCD. Yeah. So your first job then, I suppose, post-college, I know you were involved in a dot-com startup in London, but were you employed somewhere before that?
Yeah, so my, you know, probably growing up, had lots and lots of jobs. You know, I'd actually started a business at 16. That helped fund me a little bit through my work, and great support from my family to do that. Obviously worked then, you know, following my degree, went to London working in the telecom industry. That business was then acquired and ended up in the US with them for a couple of years. And then following that, came back to London. So I guess learning first how the business and the industry works, doing lots and lots of jobs, building your career early, and then following the period in the US, you know, worked on a startup, you know, probably very exciting for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, probably the takeaway from that was really learning how to business plan, deal with investors, raise money, and also how to manage it.
It really hurts, though, when a business fails, doesn't it?
Brutal.
Yeah.
And I would say my penance for that was then consulting.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of trying to learn through other businesses why it went wrong. What did I do wrong? How did I do it better? Where could I improve?
Yeah. Well, and did that setback knock your confidence? Or
I would say it took me 6 to 8 years to actually get over it.
Right.
And I think for anybody who's doing a business and when they fail, you know, you will get back up. You will do other things. You have to, because you have to work. You have to earn cash. But, you know, the emotional journey is longer.
Yeah.
And I think as people probably fail more, you get over it faster. And that also makes you more resilient, but it also allows you to see around corners and ideally not make the same mistakes again.
Well, you certainly do get blooded, and it's certainly your street smart antenna, you talk about learning the hard way. Your role then with Ericsson's, tell us about that.
Yeah, I would say that was the richest part of my career. And like so much of my career, I probably did everything a little bit backwards in the sense of, you know, the early career is fast moving, probably a bit entrepreneurial. And then the later career was really learning how to be structured and a bit more organized. But, you know, Ericsson was an incredible time. I probably was traveling 200 days a year, 80, 90 flights a year, you know, 24 odd countries we delivered projects in, been to Turkmenistan, had 4 months in Ramallah, you know, had been all over. And of course, that's where I met our Armenian investors now.
These are the Yasayan brothers.
That's right.
Yeah.
So very successful brothers, really started from nothing at the fall of the Soviet bloc, you know, started by building a small ISP or internet service provider, ended up then growing that and buying Orange Mobile in Armenia, then departed that business and then subsequently bought, you know, Team Telecom Armenia, which was originally the incumbent in Armenia. So in our concept of Ireland, you know, it'd be like buying air.
Wow.
So an incredible story. I think they employ 2,800 employees in Armenia, and they've probably 40, 50 businesses. And the latest now is they're building a pretty exciting AI factory in multiple countries in the Caucasus. Yeah.
Isn't there another lesson here in terms of, you know, working with people, building up a strong relationship with them, and then them coming part of your business life a bit later on. So
that is the lesson, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, so
absolutely.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because I think listeners will be interested.
Yeah, I think if we were to give any advice to anybody earlier in the career is to remember, you know, life is short, but memories are long.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, certainly the older and more mature I've gotten in business, it's really all about relationships. And so it was amazing for me to be able to call Alex and Hike probably 14 years after we had met and said, by the way, there's something in Ireland I think maybe you'd be interested in looking at. And then for them to be able to take the call. In fact, the email to them at the time when I reached out to them was, now that you've done an IPO in Armenia, I imagine you're bored. I might have something interesting for you to look at. And, you know, obviously really delighted that they came back.
Yeah.
And were open to support. And I think their response to us was, well, like, actually, what are you doing? And by the way, you were part of our journey as well. So for them also as successful people to recognize that and kind of embrace, you know, the journey we've had together has been the foundation for what we're doing.
Right. When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
So let's talk about Imagine, supported by the brothers. A business that was certainly operating in one, I suppose, sector where you would have thought more outlying areas in rural Ireland providing broadband. But then a bit of a shift, not all easy, to a new place, now competing with the big boys.
That's right. I mean, Imagine over 30 years has always been a challenger in the market. It started as a national reseller. I think we're bringing it back to its roots. You know, obviously they had been focused as a rural alternative network operator, you know, really known for bringing broadband to the underserved, you know, bringing broadband when there was nothing.
And the success of the fiber rollout was effectively, it almost caused terminal damage to Imagine.
I think when we looked at Imagine, we would have said it's a company in distress. It was a company that's heavily indebted. And we would say that it was a company that was heavily disrupted and disrupted by the fiber rollout in the market. I think from our side now, trying to take the business forward, our view was let's embrace the disruption. The country's awash with fiber. How do we actually take advantage of that? As a national reseller, we could serve 2 million homes in Ireland, and we're now connected to operators to do that versus providing broadband for 400,000 homes in rural Ireland. But of course, as an operator, your margins are greater. As a reseller, your margins are smaller. And that requires, you know, a huge transformation of the organization. And that's really been what last year has been about.
Okay. And then what about the marketplace at the moment? It's competitive. As I say, you're playing with the big boys. You know, the whole culture now around broadband, like everybody has it now pretty much. People, again, it's a utility. Consumers are often frustrated with utilities. There's this whole switching culture to get better prices. No one seems to reward loyalty. And customer service it's driven by AI possibly. So how do you stand out in that place where, you know, people want, they expect broadband to work. So really it's about the price and the service.
Sure. So I think when we first looked at the market, and I have a lot of experience doing market analysis all over the world with Ericsson, I think we would have highlighted that the market is essentially very mature and quite dysfunctional. You have four major players all engaged in a zero-sum game together. And I think earlier in your show, you said the punter always pays. And it's clear that one way or another, they're going to get you.
Yeah.
So they are all selling pretty much at cost or below cost for up to a year. And then the idea is that, you know, they'll lock you into a contract. They'll add inflationary prices, which are certainly more than the level of inflation. They'll do that every year. and they essentially undermine, you know, trust with consumers. And so, you know, you have a mismatch of expectations that are being set in the market.
Like, personally, and again, I'm just saying this as a punter, but I sign up for broadband, it's 60 euros a month, say. I sign up, I do my business, I have my broadband. Next thing, it goes up to 80 euro. I don't know why, and I'm saying, do I really want to go through the torture of getting into this, waiting to talk to somebody for hours on end, and then going through the whole frustration? So is part of the tactic, the marketing tactic, to actually just make the scenario of changing so horrendous that you stay with the status quo, even if it's costing you more?
Yeah, I think the real question we have to ask, and I think the minister also needs to ask, is like, what's the real cost of broadband? And if it's only broadband, why should people have to switch every year? Because you're preaching to the choir, Bobby. Like, there's no reason for people to have to switch every year.
Yeah.
So our belief is, you know, we can provide a fair price for a fair service. We're really putting our money where our mouth is. It's like, every product is not tied to a contract. There are no hidden charges, and we're locking our prices to 2030. And on top of that, there's a leave anytime contract, because if you're not happy with us, or if you're moving house, you should be able to leave at any time for an easy wrap up fee, not, you know, 6 months left on your contract and therefore you're penalized and you have to go. Essentially, you've got larger operators, you know, in a mature market like this, it's driven by churn.
Yeah.
And if they're losing, you know, customers through this churn, they have to recover the number of users they have every year. And when they look at it like that, they get locked in a dysfunction. And that dysfunction is a zero-sum game. And in the end, the punter always pays. At least for us, looking at this fresh, we can say, okay, we want to be different. We don't want to play by the same rules. Let's see if, you know.
And can you survive by not playing by the same rules? That's the bit, like.
It's a challenge.
That, yeah.
Sometimes it feels like bringing a knife to a gunfight. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's the truth. But what we do see is that, and I spend a few days on the phones myself speaking to customers, and we've pretty good research that supports us. But we can see that customers are really tired of the games that operators are playing. And they find it refreshing just to be able to say, I don't want to play those games anymore. So there are for sure segments of the market that will want to switch every year, and that's fine. I respect them in doing so. But it's a lot of, as you mentioned, change and hassle every year to research it, change your router, all of that. But there's also a fairly significant portion of the market that would just like a fair price for a service, so they don't have to think about switching broadband every year.
Yeah.
They're not going to have their bill doubled. They're not going to have additional charges added to them. And I think for us, it's just about, you know, providing business with a respectful long-term relationship to customers, where we can be transparent, we can provide simplicity, and we can give a fair price for a fair service.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, because, as I say, that hasn't been my experience. But look, we wish you well, Niall Tallon, CEO of Imagine there, doing something a bit different, or hoping to do something very different. So keep doing what you're doing, and we wish you well with it.
Thank you, Bobby, and lovely to meet you this morning.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.